So Philippians chapter 3, reading from verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. Now, you'll find it helpful today to keep your Bibles open as we reflect on this passage. And as we have been doing over the last few weeks under the theme of living joy. What does it mean to live a life that has a sense of vitality and joy together? And we have remarked before that joy is very different to happiness. I was reading this week, how do people judge success? How do we know what success really looks like? And I'll touch on this again in just a second. And Richard Branson, you know Richard Branson, founder of the Virgin Empire, says success is happiness. And when I read it, I thought, no, that can't be true. Is that seriously what he said? Success is happiness. Happiness, as we've reflected before, happiness is to do with circumstances. If your circumstances are okay, then there's a chance you'll be happy. But if your circumstances are not too good, then you're going to struggle to be happy. Joy is knowing that you're loved. Joy is knowing that you're accepted just as you are, whatever state your circumstances are in. And what we have found is, as we've read through and reflected on Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, even though he's in the most dire of circumstances, even though he's in prison, and he would be suffering in prison as far as he's aware, you know, he has no clue that he may be set free from prison. And there's a sense, reading between the lines of this letter, there's that sense for Paul of, this might be it. My life may end here in this stinking prison. But even then, he exhibits tremendous joy. I asked the last week, I asked the question, what really matters? And here's the big question, the big question mark. What does success look like? As I say, for Richard Branson, he says success is happiness. If you can create circumstances whereby you're happy, that is success. What does success look like for you? And so I was looking at this week. And do you know the name of Warren Buffett? Some of you will know the name of Warren Buffett. He's one of the richest men in the world. He's a very quiet man in lots of ways. He's a good friend of Bill Gates, the founder of the Microsoft empire. And we will know very well the name of Bill Gates. Again, a very, very wealthy man. Warren Buffett and Bill are very good friends, and they have a similar wealth together. But Warren Buffett says, it's not my money that marks my success. It's my relationships. It's the love that I share with others and they with me. And I thought that was really interesting. And Bill Gates was actually later asked, how do you mark success? And he said, well, Warren Buffett says. And then said, I think he's got a point. Bill Gates went on to say, success is the degree to which you can help others. How do we mark success? You may have come across the book I did many, many years ago. Somebody thrust it into my hands and said, you really need to read this. And the Seven Habits of the Successful Life. I think that's what it's called, by Stephen Covey. Have you come across this? You've not. You've been blessed. You know, it's the kind of book you read and realize what a failure you are, you know. But his very last, his second of the seven habits is live with the end in mind. And I thought this was an appropriate picture there. Live with the end in mind. He said that's what successful people do. Live with the end in mind. And he actually uses the illustration. He says, think about what will be said at your funeral. And then think about what you would like to be said of you at your funeral. And there you have what you regard as success. Think about what you would like to be said of you at your funeral. And there you have your understanding of success. And I think there's some truth in that. Living with the end in mind. Thinking about how we would like people to remember us. Is that our mark of success? We see in this passage, this sense I've got here, this snail, straining forward for the finish line and struggling to get to the finish line. And that sense, even in this passage, of the Apostle Paul pressing on, straining forwards, pressing on towards the end to claim the prize, to win the prize in verse 14, for which God has called me heavenwards. And even here, the Apostle Paul has the end in mind. That is what I'm aiming for. Everything else has to take second place to that goal of claiming the prize at the end. What really matters to us? How do we judge success for ourselves? Last week I put these up. What really matters? The Apostle Paul encourages people to live for Jesus. That's what success is about. If we can live for Jesus. If we can live for Jesus, and if we can live in some sense with Jesus. And what that means, if we live with Jesus, is to say, well, how did Jesus live? What is his teaching? Jesus lived with love. Can I live with that? Can I live in that way? Can I live with love? Jesus lived with compassion, with kindness, with mercy, with forgiveness. Can I live with Jesus in that? Can I show mercy and compassion and kindness and forgiveness to those that cross my path? Can I live in that way with Jesus? And can I live in the way of Jesus? You will know, and I think we commented on this a few weeks ago, the early Christians weren't known as Christians, but they were just known as the followers of the way. And that's an extraordinary thing, that Jesus had taught people and he lived in a particular way, and that was the label that was given to the early followers of Jesus, followers of the way. There was this new way, a way that was so different that clearly it stood out and had its own marker. The way of Jesus. What really matters? Is it true for us? Do we think about the end and think about our funeral and say, do you know, here is a person who really did live for Jesus. Are the values that are going to be spoken about at our funeral, are they ones that we could say, well, they're the values that Jesus lived by? And how does all this connect with us in our lives today? How is this going to connect with us this time tomorrow? Whatever we've got planned this time tomorrow, how does this resonate? Does it make any difference to us? Or is it a Sunday morning? Yeah, this sounds good and we're encouraged and affirmed. But does it really impact us? Will we say this matters this time tomorrow? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to just briefly go through this passage, and there are five things that I think the Apostle Paul highlights to say what really matters, and it is about living for Jesus, and why this matters for him and for the church in Philippi. And the first is this: you belong to Jesus. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That wonderful phrase, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Why should I consider that success looks like living for Jesus, with Jesus, in the way of Jesus? Because you belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. And sometimes we just need to stop and say, do you know what, with everything else going on in my life, whatever ambition I have in my life, sometimes we need to stop and go, is this real? I belong to Jesus, and that should make a difference to the way that we live and the way that we act and the character that we seek to develop in our lives. And the Apostle Paul says he's pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He's already taken hold of me, and I'm pressing on that I might take hold of it. So that's the first thing. You belong to Jesus. At some point, we made a decision to respond to him, and he claimed us for his own. The second is that we are encouraged to understand that we should work to be transformed. Verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And then verse 21, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Yes, I belong to Jesus. What matters to me is that I should live for Jesus, with Jesus, in the way of Jesus. I belong to Jesus, and therefore I should work to be transformed with the end in sight. What's going to happen at the end? The Apostle Paul says, I'm going to be transformed. Why wait? Why wait for then? We are called even now to work for transformation in our hearts and lives. We are called even now to work to have characters that are transformed, that are even now being changed to be like that of Jesus. So we are challenged and encouraged to work to be transformed and changed. Next thing is, why should we bother? Because you haven't arrived yet. Verse 12 and verse 13. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I think one of the, perhaps the one thing that frustrates me more than anything is meeting Christians who think they've arrived. Have you met anybody like that? Sometimes I feel like banging my head against a wall and saying, why don't you work for transformation in your life? Why don't you change that character of yours? Why don't you? Do you really think you've arrived? Do you really think you're sorted? Because from here, it doesn't look like it. And the Apostle Paul, you know, I think of the Apostle Paul and I think, well, there's a man who could say, you know, he's really on the journey. You know, he's really gone for it. And he says, look, brothers and sisters, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't sorted it. I haven't got it all sorted. But I'm pressing on. I haven't arrived yet. And we need to note that for ourselves and say, I haven't arrived yet. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay to say, I'm a work in progress. But I am committed to this work of being transformed. So you haven't arrived yet. The fourth is keep on keeping on. And I'm going to read the verses again. From verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. What does he say? But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. There's probably no other person who at this point that this is referring to who could actually say, well, you know, like Paul could say, you know, I'm in prison. You know, the chances are I'm not getting out of prison. Chances are I'm going to die right here. I might as well just put my feet up and be done with it. But he doesn't. Even, as far as he's concerned, even as his number's been called up, you know, even then, he says, do you know what? I'm still doing this. I'm still keeping on, keeping on. I'm going for it. I'm pressing on. Even now, I'm straining. And we see that sense of, I'm still going for it because I haven't arrived. I'm still going for it. And it seems to me there are no excuses for any of us to either say we've arrived or for us to say, you know, I'm going to take a break because I'm close enough. You know, you may have heard this last week that President Jimmy Carter, you know Jimmy Carter, he's 92 years old. He had cancer, I think, last year, and had an operation, and as far as he's aware, completely free of cancer. And he's an old, old man. And he was taken into hospital a few days ago, suffering from dehydration. He was working on a building site for Habitats for Humanity, and he started suffering from dehydration. So they took him into hospital, rehydrated him. And then yesterday, a picture was posted of him returning to the building site. At 92! Crikey, I hope I'm fit enough at 92. And he epitomizes the keeping on, keeping on. He epitomizes the pressing on, straining forwards. I haven't finished yet. I'm going to live this life in the way of Jesus till the very end. I'm going to keep going. And there's no excuses for any of us to say, I'm done with this. And that's what the Apostle Paul, from his prison cell, wants to encourage us in. And then the last thing is follow the good example. Verse 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. What is the example that Paul follows? Well, Paul follows the example of Jesus. And Jesus lived. Even as we look at the cross, Jesus lived as one who loved to the very end, who forgave even to the very end, who was merciful and kind even to the very end, and he loved whatever the cost. That's what the cross reminds us. Jesus loved whatever the cost. And he did it to the very end. And that's the good example that the Apostle Paul is following, that of Jesus, who pressed on, who strained forward to the very end. Love, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, generosity. All the fruit of the Spirit, the character that God wants in us. Following the good example. And we will all have those that we look to, who seek to live that out of love first and love second and love third. Always loving, kindness, mercy, forgiveness as our agenda. So we are encouraged by this passage today. We're encouraged with the question, what really matters to us? What does success look like? Maybe it is living with the end in mind, but not settling at any point. But remembering we belong to Jesus, we need to work to be transformed, we haven't arrived yet, and we must keep on keeping on following the good examples that God lays before us. Let's just pause and we're going to pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the example that we see in the Lord Jesus. And it's a stunning example of love, whatever the cost. Forgiveness, kindness, compassion, mercy, generosity. The way Jesus listened. Gracious Father, we thank you for people like the Apostle Paul who sought to live in that way. We thank you for all those who have impacted our lives living that example. And we pray that you would fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit, that increasingly, as we follow Jesus and as we follow and imitate the examples laid before us, we might be an example for someone else, that they might see in us the light of grace, and they might be inspired to keep on keeping on. In the name of Jesus we pray, asking that his grace might surround us. Amen.